Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
We'll go to our text tonight. If you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Once you've found it, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word. Revelation chapter number 20. We're going to start reading with the very first verse of scripture there. John said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." Thank God one of these days he's going to shut him up. "And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and then after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones." I want you to pay attention to this now. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ," how long? 1,000 years. "But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." And here's the key part of the verse. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him," how long? 1,000 years. Amen. Man, you may be seated. Well, what I want to deal with tonight is the subject of the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. In case you don't know what that means, that's speaking of Christ's kingdom during the 1,000-year reign. And I want to, with the help of the Lord, I don't know how far I'll get tonight, but with the help of the Lord, I want to cover some areas, different topics, if you will, that pertain to the 1,000-year reign. The first thing I want to hopefully talk about at length tonight is the glorified saints, that is us, who are going to rule and reign with Christ during those 1,000 years. And if we can get to it, I'd like to discuss the animal kingdom and how it's going to be changed during that 1,000 years, as well as the whole subject of, will babies continue to be born during the 1,000 years? Men will continue growing vineyards and building houses and continuing on with everyday life. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll get that far or not. And then the last thing, dealing with the disarmament of weapons. So we'll see how far we get tonight. But the first thing I want to start with is this first one with the millennial kingdom and us ruling and reigning with Christ. Now, before I want to say this right off the bat, before the 1,000-year reign can start, there are 5 objectives that God has that have to happen first. And again, you know, you don't have to worry about making notes. If you want these, Brother Gene will get them for you. But I'm just going to go through them pretty quick here. Number one, the gospel, and you've heard this probably ever since you've been in church. The gospel of Jesus Christ must what? Be preached unto all nations. That's first and foremost. And I just say, if we look around right now, Brother Archie, that's happening pretty good. Things are being covered. They have bridged the communication gap. I was astounded at how fluent Brother Ted spoke Hebrew. And he said he's only known how to do that for 4 years. I was like, what? I mean, that was just unbelievable. And that's just another God thing that goes to show you that when God's in control, Sister Wanda, he can just open up your mind like a spiritual sponge to receive that knowledge that's needed. So that's the first thing that has to happen before this 1,000-year reign can start. The second thing that has to happen is the rapture of the church. Now, you've heard me preach on this quite a bit here at the church. And, you know, believe it or not, some of you may not know that there are many churches today who do not believe in a rapture period. I mean, they fight against it tooth and nail. But there will be a literal rapture of the church. The third thing that has to happen is the great tribulation period has to take place, that 7-year period of tribulation. The fourth thing that has to happen is the face or surface of the earth must be transformed. Hopefully we'll get into that here in just a little bit. And then the fifth thing that has to happen, thank God for the fifth thing, is the imprisonment of Satan. And I'm looking forward to that. So we'll get started with them right off the bat here. Christ's millennial kingdom will last, as I said, for 1,000 years. That's a long time. Now, when you think about it, the United States of America is a little over 200 years old, however much it is. And we've seen how we've populated within that time. We're probably somewhere around 400 million now. I don't know. I know a few years back we were at 380-something million. I would say we're probably at 400 million now, if not maybe a little bit more, within that short a span of time. But can you imagine how many people there's going to be in 1,000 years when it's not just the United States of America that's populating, but all the nations of the earth? Now somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Jimmy. When the tribulation takes place and God starts pouring out his wrath and his judgment, how's anybody going to be left? Well, we're going to get into some of that tonight. But I'll tell you this, and I'll guarantee you this much, there's going to be people out of every nation, a remnant out of every nation, who are going to enter into that millennial age. You've heard us say, and you've heard us read the scriptures, we read it tonight here in Revelation, how that we will rule and reign with Christ, right? Well, then my question is, who will we rule and reign? If everybody's going to be annihilated, nobody's going to make it into the millennial age except the saints. Well, the saints aren't going to rule each other, and that's for sure. So we'll be getting into that a little bit more too. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 through 6 says, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death hath no power." And here's the key. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, the scriptures show plainly that up to 2/3 of the world's population during the tribulation period will be annihilated. We find that in the 8th and the 9th chapter of Revelation. It goes into great detail how that's going to happen. Now, we're not going to take time to go through all that tonight because we would run out of time. But if you get into those chapters on your time and start to read it, you're going to see step by step in both of those chapters how God's going to accomplish that task. Some of the minor prophets like Ezekiel and Isaiah begin to speak on this as well, and they refer to it as a fire that devours. In fact, let me just read one of those to you. If you'll turn with me to the book of Joel chapter 2, we'll read just a few verses there. Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now, I want you to think about that. That was in Joel's day, and he's saying it is nigh at hand. They felt a sense of urgency even then. "A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." And here it is, "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them." Now, this is a description of, if you fast forward to Revelation, it's speaking of those that demonic army, or whatever you want to call it, that's seen rising up out of the sea, that is going to go forth. Many Bible scholars attribute this to being Red China and various different things. However you want to interpret it is your business. But God, nonetheless, however he chooses to use, whether it's a regular army or a demonic army, however he decides to do it, Sister Wanda, he's going to accomplish his purposes. The next verse of scripture I want to read is found in Malachi chapter 4. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." I want you to think of that. "And the day that cometh shall burn them up." saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. 2/3 of the world's population will be destroyed. That's a lot of people. Just to kind of give you an idea of what that would represent here, the current population of the world is roughly around 7 billion. Okay, now I don't know the exact figure, but we're just going to use 7 billion. Now, if God's global time judgment, if it came right now, it started right now, the next few years, we would be talking about a number of somewhere around 4.5 billion, which is 2/3 of mankind. And I want you to think of these numbers. Who would survive this end time judgment? Only 2.5 billion people, listen to this, out of that 7 billion, only 2.5 billion people would survive and enter into the millennial age. That is a lot of loss of life. Now, you know they came out with this movie recently, Noah. I mean, that thing got horrible reviews, and I mean, it was a mess. But going back to what the Bible says about it, all flesh perished except for those 8 souls. Now, there have been people that have tried to do number studies on it. I tried myself. I am no mathematician by the largest stretch of the imagination. And I used a formula that I concocted on my own self for the United States for the 200 years that it grew up to 389 million. Way back in the day, I did this study and tried to use that formula. And I was thinking in my mind, okay, the average family in the United States of America, Brother Tracy, usually has 1 to 2 kids, the average family. But the Jews, they populated, I mean, multiple children. Bearing that in mind, and I used a formula. I didn't go every Jewish family, like, produced 12 sons. I didn't go like that, Brother John. I think I used the number 4 or 5 children. By the time I got done populating all that, I came up with 8 billion people. Now, if my figures are correct, and I'm not saying they are, then that would mean 8 billion people died during the flood and only 8 people survived. That's huge. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Now, there's no way to be able to tell, as far as I'm concerned, from the time of righteous Abel to the time that the rapture takes place, and also to the time that the people who come through the tribulation period and give their heart to Christ, what that number is going to be as far as saints are concerned. But it's going to be a large number, and it's something that our mind can't comprehend. Now, keeping that in mind, I want you to think about this. The Bible says that few there be that find it. Now, let's just say for argument's sake that from the time of righteous Abel to the time the rapture takes place, I'm just going to throw a number out there, okay? Let's say that that's 8 billion people. It probably might be more, but let's just say it's 8 billion people. The Bible refers to that number as few. Can you imagine how many people are going to go to hell? Now, I don't know how that messes with your head, but every time I've thought about that, Brother Gene, it kills me to think about that many people going to join those fallen angels for eternity, burning forever in hell. That's a large number. But nonetheless, the Bible says that 2/3 of the world's population would be destroyed. Matthew says it like this in 24:22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So it's something that should stir us. It's something that should absolutely make us quake in our boots to think of that many souls that's going to be lost. Now, I want to move on, and I want to talk about some of the types of people that's going to be in the millennial age. Before I do that, I want to make a point here. We read the scriptures that the saints are going to be as priests, ruling and reigning with Christ. We are literally going to rule and reign with Christ. You've heard me make the jokes before when I preach sometimes about, hey, you better be careful how you treat me. One of these days, I'm going to be your boss. Okay? And that's it. And we joke about that, but in a way, it's true. Okay, it might not be that particular person, Brother Gene, but there'll be people like them who will enter into the millennial age. Not everybody who enters into the millennial kingdom is going to be a Christian. We got Bible for that, and hopefully we'll get to all that tonight. So keeping in mind first, you're going to have the saints who are going to rule and reign with Christ. And again, I asked a question at the beginning of this, who will we rule and reign? Well, there's two different types of elect. Keep that in mind. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about elect. who will enter into this kingdom, and they are the elect Jew and the elect Gentile. Basically, what that means is you're going to have some Jews that are going to be saved during the tribulation period, and you're going to have some Gentiles that are going to be saved during the tribulation period. But guess what? Whether you want to swallow this pill or not, there is a third group that's going to enter into the millennial age. They're going to find a way to survive. Not going to be a lot of them. But they are going to be what is known in the Word of God as goats, the goat people. I didn't say it. The Word of God did. And this scripture that hopefully we'll get to in here in a little bit goes a little bit further and says that this particular third group of people, by scripture, will die off within the first 100 years of the thousand-year reign because of their wickedness. They said, now, wait a minute, Brother Jimmy. Now, we're talking about the thousand-year reign with Christ, 1,000 years of peace. How can that be? The Bible said that he will rule them with a rod of iron. Why would he have to do that? The Bible also says that for all those nations who do not come forth every year to pay homage to the king, being Christ, to honor him with their offerings, that it would not rain for years in their nations, which means they're going to starve to death. Christ will rule them for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. There's going to be rules. There's going to be things that's going to be implemented during that time. And the thing you've got to keep in mind is the scripture that says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's not going to take place until after the 1,000-year reign. Some of the things we're going to get into tonight proves that. But again, going back to what we were talking about, these different types of people that are going to enter into the 1,000-year reign are the elect Jew, the elect Gentile, and those that are not elect that will enter into that millennial kingdom. Now, Zechariah 13:9 says this, I will bring the one-third through the fire. Will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name and I will answer them and I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord, he is my God. Now this prophecy refers to the third of the Jews who will, as I said before, survive God's end time judgment, better known as the seven-year tribulation period, and will enter into that millennial kingdom in their fleshly bodies. Now, the current worldwide population of the Jew, listen to this, is approximately 12 million, of which 6 million actually live in the land of Israel. This means that if Jesus Christ were to return right now, listen to this, 8 million Jews would be killed. 8 million Jews would be killed in God's end time judgment, and only 4 million Jews, as God's elect Jews, would survive the tribulation period and enter into the millennial age in their fleshly bodies. It's no wonder the Bible calls this the time of Jacob's trouble, a time that's never been known before nor will be after. You can find all this in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7, Daniel chapter 12 verses 1 and 7. All of these surviving the elect Jews will ultimately believe and receive their Messiah, and each and every one of them will be saved during the millennial rule of Christ. Now here's the other thing. Well, let me give you the scripture first. Zechariah 13:9 says, and each one of them will say, the Lord is my God. That means he's not going to leave anybody out. So that's something right there that should be enough to make people shout. But here's the interesting thing. During that 1,000-year reign, even though we are ruling and reigning with Christ, everyone will have to answer to the saints, Christ and the saints, God will use the Jew to be the missionaries of the world, the soul winners of the world. What we're doing right now, they will do then. Jerusalem will be the hub capital of the world. That will be where Jesus' throne will be. And all the nations will filter in through it. The Bible says in that day that they will come along and grab a hold of the coat of a Jew and say, lead us to the Messiah. They will be the soul winners. Our job is, the Bible says, we're going to rest from our labors. Now, y'all are awful quiet on me tonight, but now that's what the Bible says. We're going to rest from our labors. I want you to think of it this way. Think of a job. You start a job from ground level. And you've heard the old saying, I paid my dues, okay? And a lot of these jobs, you work for years. I remember I was talking to Brother Mark the other day, and he was talking about how he worked outside for a long time doing these signs, and now he's finally working inside. getting out of that cold that Sister Shahida was talking about. And so we start off at ground level. We work our way up. And finally, when you put in enough time on that job and you've proved yourself, guess what happens? Eventually, you get promoted if you're a good worker and you get a cushy job. Well, think of it that way with the Lord. Right now, we're laboring. We're tired. We keep pressing. When we don't feel like going on, Brother Gene, we press on. But there's coming a day when we're going to rest from our labors. The saints will labor no more. We will rule and reign with Christ as priests and as kings. You don't act like that excites you too much, but it sure does excite me to think about it. Israel, I'll move on to the next thing here. Israel becomes the leading and blessed nation of the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ, as I said, is coming back, as it is prophesied of him, to sit on the throne of David to restore the kingdom of Israel and fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. This is to make Israel a great nation of blessing and to bless all the families of the earth. Luke says it like this in 1:32-33. Jesus will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob or Israel forever. And of his kingdom, I love this, there shall be no end. Glory to God. Ezekiel says it this way in chapter 36, verses 28 through 30. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will bring no more famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Ezekiel 36:35 says it this way. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like a garden of Eden. Now, I told you at the beginning, there's going to be a revamping of the surface of the earth. Revelation says there was no more sea. Brother Gene, that's going to be one more fiery inferno to lick up all that water. And to create all that extra land for all the people of all time from righteous Abel to us to inhabit, plus counting all those, Sister Wanda, who will come through the 7-year tribulation period, and to accommodate all the procreation and population of the humans that God's going to allow to continue during the 1,000-year reign, there's got to be room for them. And that's the reason why there's no more seas. There'll be bodies of water, but there'll not be any more seas. In fact, the book of Revelation says that a gushing crystal river will flow from the throne. And it will give new life to the desert. At the moment these waters touch the desert, it brings forth life. And a place that was once known as the wasteland or the barren land, now fruit, fig trees and palm leaves or whatever you want to call them are going to blossom up. It's going to be fruitful. And as the scripture just said here, like the Garden of Eden. When God does something, he does it right. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the reconstruction of the land of Israel. In the millennial age, the first task, and I want you to get this, of the surviving Jews will be to bury. We've talked about this before. Bury the dead bodies. I want you to listen to this. A lot of these bodies will be of the people who will die during the final great battle of the Battle of Armageddon at the return of Christ. It will take 7 months to bury all of the dead of the land of Israel. That's almost a whole year. That's a lot of dead bodies, isn't it? You know, when you mess with Israel, it ticks God off. And we look at God right now, Brother Francis, we see a loving God. We're living in an age of grace, but guess what? There's another age coming. And it's called an age of judgment. And God says, you've raped my people, you've pillaged my people, you've burned them in the ovens, you've done this, you've done that. Now it's my turn. You haven't felt fire like you felt mine. 7 months it's going to take to do that. Now, I'm going to skip this portion here because I don't have time. It talks about the third temple. It'd be something, if you want these notes, you can get it. And I want to move on. I want to step up to this part where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And you remember he told them, he said, I'm telling you the time's coming when there won't be one stone left upon another. And we know how that happened around 70 AD, how they came in and they destroyed Jerusalem and this and that and the other. But I want to point out something tonight that maybe you haven't thought of or considered. Jesus said not one stone would be left upon another. Yet, whether you're looking at the news or you make a trip to the Holy Land, guess what is there? A wailing wall. That's more than one stone left upon another, isn't it? Can I tell you tonight that that prophecy has not been fulfilled in totality yet? Stick with me. When it will be totally fulfilled, after the rapture, when we return with Christ, according to Enoch in the book of Jude, this Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with what? Ten thousands of who? His saints, not the angels, his saints, to execute wrath upon all those that are wicked. Now, when he comes back, the Bible says, Jesus himself will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Did you catch that? The Mount of what? Olive. Now, I want to share something with you before I go any further with this thought, because this is going to be powerful. When Jesus, and I just learned this today from Brother Ted Moe, I was so excited. Whew, hallelujah. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane,
remember that,
and he was praying. Remember what happened? What happened?
Sweat became as drops.
Now, in our Bible, we read that on the surface, and wow, we feel sorry because Jesus' sweat turned to blood. He was praying so hard for us. But when you read it in the original Hebrew, the Hebrew people understand it in a way we do not, because there is such a thing in Israel known as the Stone of Gethsemane. And this stone is a heavy stone. And it is used, Brother Gene, to press olives until the juice runs out. We call oil. It endures great pressure. And that strain that's pressed down over and over again until finally every drop of oil has been pressed out. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, had the weight of the world upon him, pressing upon him until his sweat became as great drops of blood. My. Hallelujah. When Jesus, here's the good part. When Jesus' feet is set upon the Mount of what?
Olives.
There's going to be an earthquake so great, it's going to level every city. It's going to topple every stone wall, and there will not be one stone left upon another. That's what our God's going to do. You're talking about a rebuilding. You're talking about a shaking. There's an old McCamey song says, you talk about a groundbreaking. Oh, what an earth shaking when our Lord returns to claim his own. You talk about a groundbreaking. There's never been an earthquake like unto that when Jesus takes us home. I'm telling you, when he comes back and he sets those feet upon the Mount of Olives, Sister Shahida, it's going to be such a pressure. Amen. That every evil kingdom, every evil nation is going to topple, is going to crumble, and his kingdom shall be established forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to that. Folks, I can't say it any better than that. I don't have the vocabulary to speak it any plainer than that. What a pressure. What a stone of Gethsemane. Daniel said it like this. The stone that was cut out without hands that came from the heavens and it smote the nations. It smote the image and destroyed it.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. Change me. I no longer have to
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.